known Tracy Hibbs for a long time. I'm not going to tell you how old. It'll make me feel old, and Tracy as well. We've known each other a long time. Tracy's a very faithful husband and daddy of three, and he's the perfect guy to come and back clean up. Now, y'all are going to be the judge of how many men are on base this morning, because I don't know whether I've thrown, whether I've struck out or had some base hits in the last few weeks, but y'all have to decide that. Tracy's the perfect guy, and because of his wealth of experience and just his heart for the Lord and for what he's doing, I don't know of anybody in the city any better at doing what he's doing, and that has a, because it's having a great impact, and he's doing the right things, and he's doing it in the right way. And I hope that today is just the beginning of a long-term relationship with our church and Mission Birmingham. This is kind of like our first date, and I hope we have some sort of marriage in the future, Tracy. So we're glad you're here. Let's give him a warm hand.
Well, I'm the kind of guy that just kind of shoots from the hip. The slide thing that I'll use this morning, I just made it up this morning. But it's taken 28 years to make. And so I'll share that with you as we go through the process. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I'm married, been married 22 years to the same woman. I have three kids, one 20 years old in the Coast Guard, one 17 years old, and about to graduate and go to Troy, I hope. And then a 14-year-old son, I turn 15 next week, so he'll want me to make sure I say that next week. He'll turn 15. And so that's my family. And just a brief history about myself. I grew up in South Carolina, moved from South Carolina, grew up during integration and all that, was bused to all black schools and stuff like that. Moved to Birmingham, got saved, moved to Birmingham in 1980, so that was 28 years ago, to go to Southeastern Bible College. And at attending Southeastern Bible College, I began a journey of trust, transformation, of going back to what God wanted, the state in which God wants us to be in, is be at one with Him. 28 years ago when I came to Birmingham, I began to work with juvenile detention centers in Chalkville and Harold Morris and guys like that, and began to really see needs in ministry and all that. Went to Southeastern, graduated there, moved to Chicago. Lived in Chicago for 6 years and served there. Moved my family. My wife and I went there, had two kids while we were there. Lived in Humboldt Park, one of the worst neighborhoods in the city of Chicago. We lived in that community. I was robbed the first week I was there. Guy broke into my house in my bedroom, in the very 5 feet from me. Actually crawled over me to get into my room. God kept me from that. I could tell you just the hand of God in all this journey. 6.5 years there in Chicago. Left there to come back to Birmingham to help start a work and be involved in a work downtown. Called the Center for Remission, is a new city church. And that church is still in existence today, and the Center for Remission still is today. And I was a part of that for 12 years and served under that and helped start that. My family, my kids were raised in that church under a black pastor, and served there as a youth pastor for 12 years. 10 years ago, Mission Birmingham started, and with a group of 85 pastors, led by Frank Barker and different men of that caliber, started Mission Birmingham, where pastors came together and pray. And after 4 days of prayer, 85 pastors developed a covenant to work together, whatever it takes to work together, with the center of that being the gospel. The gospel is what transforms lives, so we have to agree upon the important things. And so that launched it about 5 years ago. I'm a self-supported missionary. 28 years ago when I left South Carolina to come to Birmingham, I just trusted God. I thought that's what He wanted me to do. Never borrowed a dime to go to college, and God supplied the need. I didn't know you could borrow money at that point. I really didn't. And then moving to Chicago, raised my own support. For the last 24 years, been my own support. Today I work for Mission Birmingham full-time. Transferred my support about 5 years ago, worked full-time with Mission Birmingham. And I work with actively about 120 churches and 60 organizations. And my part in that is I don't work a lot with the pastors in the city as much as I work with the community. I work a lot in the community and helping develop community. And I spend most of my time, we picked a target area of West End about 5 years ago. And for the last 5 years, I've been investing time, energy, and resources into one area to see transformation happen. And my experience with groups and churches and all that kind of led me to where I'm at today, because I have been working a lot in Chicago with hundreds of groups over the years, and then here in Birmingham with hundreds of groups. I quit about 4 years ago working with groups because I really was tired of them. I was tired of churches. I was tired of people coming down, and I was taught by the people in the community that we use the community, and we prostitute the community. We do what we can, and then we leave. And we weren't making an impact in the community. And so groups would come in and do the little service ditty and head out. And I was participating in that. And God began to continue to take me, and it has over the last 28 years, down a journey of transformation, of living out a lifestyle of justice and mercy and love. I'm currently a member of Mountain Brook Community Church, which I've been there about a year at that church. But I work with a lot of churches. And doing that, what I do is I help diagnose where a church is in the process of transformation and involvement and missions and things like that, and help them move to the next level. Now, a lot of that don't even make sense to you. But I needed to tell you that, to put a context for what we're going to do today. I'm only going to say what I believe God wants me to say. I'm going to say it. I heard a guy say a couple weeks ago, he said, be bold, be brief, be quick, and be gone. I think that's what he said. You know, that's kind of my philosophy. Is that, you know, I just can tell you what's on my heart and just go with it. So that's kind of where it's at today. I know I've been trying to get from Bobby and Terrell and those guys that come here kind of what you've been talking about so I could, you know, help you out. But I don't know. I could never get anything from them. So I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to give you what I believe God wants me to share with you. And it's a journey of 28 years now of being involved in the urban community. And not only having an impact, but really being transformed, to be different. And this pole will get in my way every once in a while. I'm dodging the pole right here. But what I'm going to talk about is a journey of transformation. And really, we're all on a journey of transformation. Back to where God's called us to be. Back to the heart of God. You know, and that's what I want to be. I want to be a man of God who seeks the heart of God and do the service of God. I'm a mission broker. Somebody called me a couple weeks ago. I broker missions. I spend a lot of time in the communities, and then I help churches like yours to move down a process so you can engage where you're at and then move down the process of really engaging. Going from projects to partnerships. Not only partnerships, but going from partnerships to a lifestyle. Partnerships being, you know, supporting missions and things like that. Those are great things. And I tend to beat up a lot of white people, so if I put you down, you just say stop. That's not true, because I am white. I can speak for most white people. That's not true either. I can only speak for me. But I want to take you on this little journey of missions and service projects and things of that nature, and just share with you my journey. And this is, I believe that at the end of this, we'll talk about, you know, I'm not going to bring a bunch of Bible verses up and beat you up with that. I believe that God wants us to be a great commission church of making disciples. I believe he wants us to be great commission people of making disciples. And the Bible says, as you go, make disciples. And I'm going to challenge you that the lifestyle that I want to help show you today is that as you go, you'll make disciples. Whether you like it or not, you will make a disciple everywhere you go if you see and live a life of intention to, as you go, you make disciples. And the great commandment, not only to love God, which churches do pretty good at that, and they work pretty hard at that, but also how to love your neighbor. And we use the context in Birmingham, and that's why I don't travel around and bring a lot of groups from the outside. I like to work with groups in Birmingham, with the city of Birmingham, because it is this city and it is our churches that have the biggest problem. It's easy to go across the world and go to a third world country and see how poor people live and see how hungry they are and break your heart and you do your service project. But I tell you right now, within 3 miles of here is one of the worst zip codes in America. Y'all know that. And the Bernie Points Church actually was in the center of that for years. And so that we have a responsibility to that community, to the communities that we are neighbors with, to embrace other neighbors and to learn how to love our neighbors. Now, I do this with youth groups all the time. Older folks are a little harder. You know why? Because we got so much history. I ain't going there. I ain't doing that. But let me just share with you some of this journey. And this is kind of where I'm going to go right there. And if this thing works, it'll be a miracle. Because what you have is service project. I work with groups that call me all the time. And I actually quit because too many people want to do just service projects. And if they want to go to the next level, I'm willing to help them. But I don't want to just do service projects because it's something to do. You can go to Hands On Birmingham. You can call anybody you want to do service projects. The service projects are a part of the process of learning how it is to love your neighbor. You do a service to your neighbor. You do a service to somebody. I put turkeys over the wall. Let's get some turkeys on Thanksgiving. Let's get some turkeys and we're going to put it in our car and we're going to back up over to West End. Throw it over the wall. Oh, they catch them and they're down there. They're like, here it comes. And they catch the next one and they catch the next turkey and they take those turkeys home and they eat them. And you get to the wall, but you throw them over and you keep going. But you know what? You feel good because they caught them, because they're out there ready to catch them, because they know that's what you're giving and that's what they want to receive. And you taste mercy in that process. And you know what? That is fine. That is fine. And a lot of churches, every Thanksgiving do that. And every Christmas, I'm going to do it too. You know, I get hundreds of calls on Christmas and Thanksgiving. I want to do this. Can I do this? Absolutely, if you are willing to allow me to help you in that. Educate you why you do it. Not just to do it to do it. No, you ain't going to just do it to do it. If you want to do that, go find somebody else. The little service things they do under the bridge, feeding all the homeless at so-and-so around the year, that's worthy. It is. Because what that happens is not only a service project, you go from serving a project, delivering the turkey baskets. You know, I worked with a church in Chicago that used to do turkeys over the wall. Then they decided they wanted to help deliver the turkeys in the community. So they would drive in and they allowed them to use their hands to touch folks. They would take and give a basket to somebody. And somebody reached their hand out and take the basket. And you began to see that. And you thought, wow, that wasn't too bad. But I drove in and I drove out. You know, so it was okay. Is my car going to be okay when I'm down there? You know, am I safe when I'm down there? You know, those kind of questions, and you got to answer those kind of questions. And in the process, I believe God is teaching us so much about people because He wants us to use our hands to touch people. He wants us to use our hands to touch people. He does. I believe He does. And when you touch people, you engage them, something happens. Something happens. If you know, usually if you don't know somebody, you just shake the hand. How you doing? Good to see you. That's okay. You know, but usually if a guy wants to really embrace it, you kind of touch each other. I mean, it's not just a light handshake. It's an embrace. I love working with African Americans because you watch two African American brothers, man, they just Man, they just embrace them because there's something that, you know, they touching each other. But you deliver them the turkey baskets, you deliver those Christmas presents, you have those things, and everybody has those little projects. Every year, We've done thousands, and last year we did, this past Christmas, we did thousands of presents and all. But then it gets to a point where you go from this process for a service to serving to servant project. I want to do it. And that's probably where you're at. You want to do it. You want to serve some more one day project where you give of your time, your feet, your hands are put into action. In other words, it ain't just about delivering those baskets. I want to get down there and do something. And begin to put my feet and my hands into action. I get people call me all the time. Our kids, we want to do something with our kids. And I'm like, come on, bring the whole family. Let's go do it. Let's go do this. Servant. If you just want to serve. You don't want to tell me what you want to do. You're asking me what you want to do. You know, usually I get a call and says, hey, this is what we want to do. I'm like, well, go do that with somebody else. I'll give you the names of the people to go do it with because it's going to be fun and it's good and it's worthy. But as a church, as an organization, we got to help our churches and organizations move down a journey of seeing people's lives transformed for the gospel so that the gospel transforms lives. To servanthood. You go to servant, you become the servanthood. Wow, this is... Give more of your time. Give more of your talents, gifts, resources. I ain't talking about money. People think I'm always talking about money. Money, it don't mean nothing. It's what God has done in you that is who God wants to use. And you become a servant to the process. You give more time. People saying, hey, I don't want to just do that. I'm a carpenter. And can you use that? People tell me, whatever they have, whoever they are, yes, it can be used for the kingdom. And let's go use it down in this neighborhood because I want to help you move down a process because once you get through this process, you're released. I'm not holding on to nothing, man. I've seen people's lives transformed as a result of this. Their whole lives transformed, never to be the same if they go down this process. Now, at this point, when you begin to be not only a servant, but a servanthood, and this is teen now. You look up these passages, Mark 6:34, Psalms 119, 18. Look people in the eyes. Do you know that a look can kill, destroy? It is where lust happens. It is where deceit happens. It is where hatred happens, manipulation, and it's where love happens. It's because with your eyes, when you see a community in need, and when you see it with the eyes of Christ, you will change if you allow God to use your eyes. Now this, to me, this has just happened in the last week. A pastor was preaching on, said something about the eyes last week. And God began to stir in me and said, this is one piece of the puzzle. And I just keep putting pieces into the puzzle. And God says, because the way you look at people, they can read you like a book. I'll tell you right now that people in the black community and the poor community can read people faster through their eyes than in any other way. They can read you. They've learned how to read you with their eyes. I got everybody looking at me in my eyes right now. But it is true. It is so true. And then, well, don't God just slap you in the face sometimes? My wife made a statement to me. Now, all y'all husbands and wives, y'all will know what I'm talking about now. Woo! Good grief. My wife said something the other day, and I looked at her like she was crazy, and she started crying. And she said, the way you looked at me hurt so bad. That's the truth. And God is teaching me so much that it's not only what's in your heart, but what's in your eyes. And what you're telling people with your eyes, that means so much, and it hurts so much. She reminded me of that again last night, of our eyes. And I said, I know. My eyes destroy people. My eyes also love people. Because I want to change the lens in which I see people. And I cannot read my Bible anymore. I need these glasses. I need the eyes of Christ to see people. Because with my eyes, I will seek, heal, and destroy people. And we do that every day, don't you? Don't I? I judge people immediately. I judge people immediately with my eyes. And I pray every day now with my eyes that He will transform me, not become a servant to the people, to serve the people in a way, and to look at them in the eyes. Because that person is ugly, I still need to look them in the eyes. Because that person is deformed or has some abnormality or whatever, I am to... The best way I can affirm them is to look them in the eyes with dignity, with love, compassion. Man, that truth is changing my life today. And you see that because the way we look at each other, when you drive down the poor community, what do? You look, you say, watch out, oh, that's bad, oh, look at that. But I drove around again. I drive around in West End all the time. With different eyes. I see it different than most people. Because God's changed my eyesight. He's given me a new lens to look through. I'm looking through the eyes of Christ. And I want to keep putting these glasses on. To get me some permanent contact so they'll never come out. And get that laser surgery from God. LASIK, whatever it's called. So I'll be changed forever. But because we've got to deal to now. There's a transition that's going to happen. And I help churches through this transition. I love to see people go through a transition. You're watching me go through a transition, even as I'm telling you this. It goes from projects that people love to do, churches like to do, and all that, to begins to develop into a partnership. It goes out of the classroom, out of the project stage, into a partner stage. It goes now into, instead of just being and learning about the Word of God and the Word of God and how to make disciples and how to evangelize the community and to the point of beginning to partner with a community, with people of need, with people, so that you understand it is about the gospel. Because in partnerships, can you share the gospel? Yes, you can. In partnerships, you can empower the world. You can become a part of the Great Commission through partnerships. You can't do it alone. You can't do it through projects. You can only do it in partnerships. And so you begin to ask the question, what is the need that I can serve? What's the need? What in a partnership, you're saying, "What? How can I serve? What can I do to help? What can I do?" John 15. Just a great passage. Because in John 15, Jesus begins to talk to his disciples and the people around him and say, "I do not no longer call you my servants, but my friends." There was a point of transition. Because in partnership, now friends begun to build. We begin to, you know, and friends, we begin to talk. We begin to communicate. It ain't about what you got and what I can get. It ain't about, you know, it's about us knowing each other. It's about developing that relationship. It's the beginning process of developing a relationship. You begin to develop a relationship with the community of need. And you know who the community of need is? Everybody around you. Everybody you come in contact with has a need. Maybe God can use for you to meet. It ain't about black, white. But we'll use that extreme because most people don't know how to see the difference. They need an extreme difference. So we go down and do the project. But you begin to a point where your heart is beginning to change. And you're beginning to feel what it feels like when you go down to a poor community. And you walk around that and you've seen it with your eyes. Now you begin to feel it with your heart. You begin to feel it. I had a group of UAB students. And next week I will have about 500 or 600 people out in West End next weekend. And last year, this very same time, we had a bunch of students out working in a community of about 100 people. And we filled up 3 dumpsters that day. within 3 hours of trash, debris. A couple of kids were out, started running around. Went up to another little boy and said, to one of the UAB students, said, can I go with you? Can I have you picking up trash? He started helping pick up trash. And he told the grown UAB student, he says, I never get to come out and do this. That UAB student began to cry profusely to a point where he couldn't control himself anymore. He could not control. He had to remove himself from that situation because it hit right here. It hit his heart to know that within 1.5 miles of UAB, there's a community that is so destitute, so poor, so hurting, and he didn't even know. And God began to work on his heart. If you'll come down, if you'll spend some time, if you go and do these service projects, you'll begin to develop a partnership where your heart will be changed. And you begin to feel what they feel. You begin to feel what it feels like to be in that situation. And you go from partnerships to friendships. You know, I might be your friend, but this different friend is different than friendship. Friendship is reciprocal. Friendship is time. And in the development of time, we develop a friendship. So that we can spend a lot of time. And then you ask the question, how can I invest? Relationally. How can I invest in your life? How can you invest in my life? How can we invest in one another's lives? Because we care about you. Because I have needs. And so the community president of West End is named Keith Aaron. And this week we had some just awesome conversations. And he helped me so much. He's not even a believer. But he helped me so much in our relationship. Because it's during this process that the gospel becomes real. So often we want to go down and do a revival in the West End and save all the poor people. And get them all saved and we're going to leave though. My pastor used to say, you catch and you clean them. And when I told the church that I go to, sit in the room one day, and they said, "Well, we're gonna help them this way, and then they'll come to our church." I said, "No, they won't." "Oh, yeah, they will. They're fine about it." "No, they won't. The truth is, they won't. They're not invited." "Oh, we let them come in. We're not uninvited." "No, but the atmosphere in which has been created is not reciprocating that kind of relationship. Be honest. Be truthful." But you can carry a person in. You don't invite them in. You carry them in. And we go together. That's different. The smell, the sweet spot. I was with a guy yesterday, and he was talking about his own father. And he talked about his relationship. And the closer our relationships get, and it gets to a friendship, is where we begin to smell one another. I can smell the scent. He used to talk about smelling aftershave lotion of his daddy on him. Getting to a place where you begin to smell, get so close to a person that you know what they smell like. That's pretty close, isn't it? You know what your husband or wife smells like, don't you? They got this distinct smell. We do. It's like animals. They have a distinct, they know what everybody, you know, they're just sniffing, smelling. We begin to engage in a way in our lives where we understand each other. And then what helps a lot is that smell helps to transform us. I was at a work project just a couple of months ago with a bunch of folks, and everybody was gone, and I was sitting there, and this man came up to me, and he just stunk. And that smell stayed with me for weeks. I mean, on one of my coats. And he got close to me, and it stunk so bad. But you know what? I never backed away from it because of this smell. Because I wanted that to be on me now. Because I wanted to engage. I wanted to smell, be so close that I could smell his smell. And this begins the process of a lifestyle of loving your neighbor. That you don't back away, you know, when that person comes. You engage. You walk up to them. It don't matter if they smell whatever. It just don't matter. It's that embrace. It's if you hug somebody, you might adopt, you know, what's that smell? And that's okay. And it goes from friendship to a relationship. Because in that whole process, once partnership happens, you have the right, responsibility, and the relationship to share Christ with someone. It's no longer just going and casting a line out and say, hoping you catch a fish as you drive by a lake. It's staying there a long time. And it's developing a relationship and sharing Christ with them. The guy I told you to keep there. And we've been engaged in a relationship and a partnership and a friendship for a couple of years now, because I believe that God's going to transform his life. I believe that. And if that, and when that happens, maybe I've accomplished my purpose. I have with him, but it's not the end. It's only the beginning of our relationship. It's only the beginning. And so what I tell you is that a church, individuals, we all go through this process of being transformed, to be different, to be like Christ. Because I believe that Christ was a great commission. He made disciples everywhere he went. As he went, he made disciples. The great commandment, loving God, loving his neighbor. He looked the woman at the well in the eyes with compassion. He looked and saw that and had compassion on her. Then we learn how to bear one of those burdens, thus fulfill the law of Christ. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city, and Jeremiah talks about, and fix our eyes on Jesus. Because without Jesus putting this lens in my eye, I would never see the world the way he sees it until he puts that lens, till he becomes the lens that I fix my eyes on. And when I see people, I see Christ. And as a church, you have to go through this process in your projects, in your service, in your involvement in the city, or wherever it is. You have to go through. And some people will get to a point in this process where they say, that's it. That's all I'm going to do. And I meet a lot of people that say, that's it. But for me and my family and my journey, I'm going all the way. It's about preeminence, folks. It's about giving God it all and doing it just like this. Whatever it takes, Lord, to bring me closer to you, that's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to surrender it all for you. I watched a man in Chicago, and God has wired everybody a certain way. He's put things in your life, your path of your life is such a way that God wants to use you. And I thought about this morning, one, how much time ago? What time was it?
About 10 minutes.
Okay. One of my best friends that lives in Chicago, his name's Mark Malnati. And Mark and I met each other throwing turkeys over the wall. And actually, making turkey baskets in Chicago with a church that wanted to do some turkey over the walls. And I remember meeting Mark and making baskets one day. And I remember spending time with Mark that next year. That next year, Mark actually, we loaded up some of his van, and we took turkeys and delivered them to families together. And that was so neat to see that happen. You know, and to see him interact with folks and to watch that happen. And then Mark began to tell me, Mark owned some pizza restaurants. And he used to work at a place he used to help put together, and still does, the Taste of Chicago. And he said, listen, I do the Taste of Chicago of years. Why don't you get 30 kids and come down, and we'll treat them to anything they want in the Taste of Chicago. We'll send them to a Cubs game and just have the time of their lives. And we did that. We did that. And that was thousands of dollars worth of stuff that he gave. I missed a baseball. Hit right in front of my hands. Turned my head and it hit right in front of my hands. A baseball. I missed. My only time in my life I ever had a baseball come to my way. But he used, and then Mark used to say, I've got season tickets to Wrigley Field. Use them anytime you want to. And anytime you want to bring a kid to my restaurant, you just tell me it's on me. And then he said, it was even more. He said, as we began, he said, now I'll hire some of your kids. They began to employ some of the kids. And then he said, there's this one kid that we had a lot of good basketball player and all. He said, I'll pay for him to go to all private high school. And a bunch of his buddies. And they did that. And that partnership began to develop. And God just took it to a whole other level. Ricardo Marsh said, I've got more that I can give. It ain't about money, folks. It's about using what God, the way God wired you to influence our culture with the values of the kingdom. And what he's done now is that in the process, he asked the question, how can I invest more? It was past me now. And he was working, he got 25 restaurants in Chicago. His 10th restaurant, he gave to the poor community. It's still there today. It doesn't make a lot of money. And he's invested in that. He went to a community that we were involved in, and he planted one of his 10th restaurants and tied that restaurant to the Lord. And it employs people in that community, drug guys that have been rehabbed and all that in that community. And that restaurant is still there today. He still invests money into it. It's what he does. He is an entrepreneur of restaurants of Lou Malnati's Pizza. You know, that God has just blessed over and 10 times over in Chicago. And he still gives of himself to that because that is what he gives. And that's just one example of the process that he's went through, the process that I went through, the process that if we allow God to use us, we will go through a process because we all have something we can give back. Every one of us. We use West End. We partner with West End. And I protect West End. My job as a mission broker is to protect, not allow the white community to abuse the black community in which we serve. I'm a protector of that. I partner with that. But everybody has something they can give. And it's, folks, it's not about projects. It's not about going West End. It's not about serving the poor community. It's about being, as you go, you make disciples. This is about looking at everybody with the eyes of Christ. It's about living a lifestyle of a changed life. And that everybody we come in contact with can change because of Christ. But for the grace of God, there go I the same way. You know, I don't know if you got that. I don't know if you're big enough to read even. But what that shows is that everybody has something they can give. God just wants your heart. You know, give your heart to Him, and He'll use you in ways that you'd never imagine. You know, I was at a session yesterday with a fellow speaking, and he just said it's really when you're available to God that God will use you over and above what you even believe you can do yourself. And I see it happen every day. You know, we've got a project starting next Saturday, and we do really, really little. It literally have between, I know, 500, maybe 700. I don't know what it'll be next Saturday. People coming out. And I'll be honest with you, I have no clue what's going to happen. But I know what I do. And I know what I can help get ready. But when it comes down to it, I let God do what He's going to do in and through those folks. I organize, I plan, I put things together, and I hope that it's... But when it gets down to the day and the time and when it's happening, I work with a glaze in my eyes because I don't know. You know, I've seen... We've done 5 Grace makeovers where total houses have been totally redone. From the inside out, 5 of them. This will be the 6th one we're about to start on. And people ask, well, how are we going to... I don't know. I still don't know. But we start Saturday. You know, God knows. And God has a plan. And He always, always supplies the need. He always does that. That's shit. Let me just close this in prayer. And if you have any questions or whatever, you can ask me. And I'll say a few other things. Lord, I just thank you. I pray that the hearts of the folks have been touched. I only deliver what you want me to deliver. And I thank you, God, for the opportunity. God, help me be a man that utilizes the lens of you to look at people and to treat people with dignity, honor, justice, mercy. And help me not to be judgmental, but be that servant of you. Pray that everyone in here, this church, would be a servant of what you would have them to be, but also become a friend to the community and to everybody around them. In Jesus' name, amen.